During David Hickton's 6 years as U.S. Attorney for Western Pennsylvania, his office took the lead pursuing international cyber criminals, including 5 Chinese Army members and a Russian hacker who stole millions. Now, David Hickton has been named founding director of the University of Pittsburgh Institute for Cyber Law, Policy, and Security. He told 90.5 WESA's Kevin Gavin that while cyber threats drove his previous work, he will take a broader approach in his new role.
Cyber is so much bigger than security. And if you use the term cybersecurity narrowly, it almost sounds like a protection agency or something like how to prevent unwanted intrusions into your system. And that's really just a small part of what we aspire to deal with. You might think of another word called cyber enabling. Because as we have dealt with the threats, we've become reactive and we're not as proactive in looking at all of the opportunities that exist. So think about the medical community and think about how we might be able to use big data to enhance the already great care that we give patients here in Western Pennsylvania. So you might go see a doctor and through cyber enabling improvements, by the time you get there, the doctor has had the opportunity at rapid speed to do research on your history and to do research into the literature to see what may be indicated in the course of your treatment. So that's just one example of what we hope to do to unleash the capacity of cyber as well as continue our work in protecting people from cyber villains who might steal our money and steal our privacy.
When you began as U.S. Attorney in 2010, did you already have that cybersecurity would be a focus of your office?
In the period of, say, 2004 to 2008, there was this general awareness that hacking was going on and intellectual property was being taken, but there was so little known about the specifics about it, and there was almost a howling at the moon attitude. People felt that it was happening, but there was nothing that could be done. So I had that awareness. I had also had the awareness, as we all had now that we focused on it again, that in 2008, both presidential candidates had been hacked. 2012, later Mitt Romney was hacked. And so this discussion about hacking in the election is not new. And then what happened really that triggered this, ironically, was the Pitt bomb threat case. When we realized that the flagship university in this community was under siege, after there had been that terrible shooting at Western Psych, and there were these horrible images of patients being taken out of university hospitals in the middle of the night because of this stream of bomb threats, I made a decision, which was not popular at the time in law enforcement, to do everything we could to try and deal with that problem. I was told initially we had as much chance of solving that case as finding a single grain of sand on the beach of the East Coast of the United States, but from April to the fall, we had identified the perpetrator and charged him.
That was 2012. Your office wound up indicting an alleged Scottish terrorist by the name of Adam Busby.
It was through that work. And at the same time, we were working on these industrial espionage cases. And I think, like anything else in life, you build your learning curve by intense work. And the work that we did in the Pitt bomb threats paid rich dividends when we started looking at Chinese hackers and Russian hackers.
And that drew even greater national and international media attention, and whether it was the Chinese hackers and several other things and dismantling the dark code. Who would have thought that all that would have come out of Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's something. And sometimes I look back and say that that really all happened. Because if you were handicapping it, you would never believe that we could have got those cases to the finish line. But we had great support from the FBI here. And, you know, my function was to really push, both here in Pittsburgh and also in Washington, and make demands on people that this was important. The one that really is the watershed case is the case against the Chinese Army. We indicted 5 members of the People's Liberation Army in China, put their pictures at the back of the indictment, put a chart that showed the schedule of their hacking from Shanghai, and exposed an entire network, an entire architecture that China had here of compromised computers, which were so-called hot points, so they could anonymize their intrusions into U.S. Steel, Alcoa, Westinghouse, Allegheny International, the United Steelworkers of America, and a solar company in Oregon. Really pretty incredible stuff. And that case changed the way China dealt with us. It's been documented that there's been a sevenfold decrease in hacking since we filed that case.
David, let me ask you a two-part question. What do you think are the greatest threats in terms of security from whom, whether it is nation states or state-sponsored or whether it's individuals? And to whom or to what is the greatest threats? Is it to our financial stability, our national security? So from whom and to what would you say?
Well, I think if you use the word greatest threat, you have to say that the greatest threat to us would be a nation state or a terror group, you know, using the internet to disrupt our critical infrastructure. So if someone were to disrupt the electrical grid, or someone were to disrupt our air traffic control system, or someone were to completely freeze our financial system, we would have disaster and chaos. And if that were done in connection with a combined threat, you know, you'd have to be really be concerned. And the type of thing that kept me up at night as U.S. attorney is when I watched news that there had been some mischief with the electrical grid in California. Because I always used to use the term that these cases had to be assessed on their merits, but also they had to be assessed as whether they were tests of our response, whether they were probing endeavors by our adversaries. And so we could have a cataclysmic cyber disaster. I mean, people have used the term a cyber Pearl Harbor or a cyber 9/11, and that would be the greatest threat. But the day-to-day threat to the average citizen like you and me is that you, without your knowledge, your credentials and financial information are harvested through the anonymity of the internet by a person like Eugeni Bogachev, who stole as much money as you can count, and then through a ransomware locked down people's computer and was extracting ransom through Bitcoin to get back on people's computers.
It's not, it can't be just law enforcement and government.
Right.
What tell us a little bit about the importance of partnerships with the private sector, with the corporate sector, with the academic sector, how they can all come together to improve cybersecurity.
Well, it's a great point. I mean, it's fundamental when you look at it from the lens of the government that all of the crime and all of the intrusions come from the private sector. So first of all, first principles are if you don't know about it, you can't prevent it. And so a large part of our work was changing the way people dealt with cyber intrusions, either stopping people from saying, well, this is inevitable and I'm not going to worry about it. And I did a lot of outreach as U.S. attorney, and I intend to do even more in this job. So through that outreach, you find interest, and through that interest, you find partners. And so the corporate community has a lot to say about what we do here. But the academic community, as you point out, is one of our strengths here in Western Pennsylvania. And, you know, we're building this capacity at the University of Pittsburgh, but we're building it in partnership with the great work that's already been done at CMU for years in this area. And they're great partners. And as one of my last acts as U.S. attorney, sat as witness to an agreement that it was inked between Robert Morris and CCAC. Point Park has a good program. We expect to be working with Duquesne, all the combined academic resources here. And, you know, the great thing about Western Pennsylvania, one of the reasons many of the other U.S. attorneys were jealous of me, is we all work together here. In other communities, that was not so. And there's just sort of a natural willingness when we identify a common enemy. But it's really that mentality that we have here. And if we realize that we're all threatened by it, then there's plenty of work for everybody to do. There's plenty of oxygen in the room for everybody to have their say. And that's the way I tried to lead when I was U.S. attorney, and that's the way I intend to do this work here. I want to add one other thing, though, that I'm going to continue to do my work on heroin and opioids. I'm going to remain as a fellow of the Institute of Politics that was such a critical partner to me in that work. And I want to say that because cybersecurity is relevant to that. We're starting to get synthetic drugs from overseas that are landing, you know, here in the United States. You've seen the news about carfentanil in Beaver County, which is an elephant tranquilizer, and these drugs are getting worse and worse and worse. And so there's a bridge there. But beyond the bridge through cybersecurity, it was really important to me when I went to Pitt that I could also continue that important work, because I think we were on the cusp of doing a community demonstration model, and I intend to continue to do that work as well.
Great. David Hickton, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Great to see you again.
Former U.S. Attorney David Hickton, the founding director of the University of Pittsburgh Cyber Unit. He spoke with 90.5 WESA's Kevin Gavin.